That opening prayer is actually the words from Psalm 19, verse 14, and reflects really what should be on the hearts of all of us, that the words that we speak from our mouth and the things that we meditate upon in our hearts will be acceptable in the sight of our Lord, who is our rock and our redeemer. Two wonderful images of God being a rock and a redeemer. And I think that's some important images for us to reflect upon in our lives. And of course, it's important that the words of our mouths are acceptable in his sight, not just the words that I speak from here, but the words that we speak, you speak to each other. The types of things that we say to each other can have an extraordinary effect upon people's lives, to the good or to the ill. And so it's important that we get that right. But also what we meditate upon in our hearts has an effect too. If it's things that are good and uplifting, then it will uplift our souls before Almighty God. And essentially, I think this is what Paul was trying to instill upon Timothy. And it was an aim really for him to reflect upon and back upon his salvation history, how God had brought him to that point in his life. And as we look at Paul's letter to Timothy, we see that there was some historical evidence and influence upon his life. We see that his grandmother, Lois, first of all, was a Christian, and clearly she had an impact upon his mother, Eunice. And between them, they began to bring up Timothy in a life of faith, and it had an impact upon him. And he too then took up the faith which would lead him for the rest of his life and cause him at this stage in his life to be in one of the biggest cities in the known world, in Ephesus. Ephesus was a sprawling, extraordinary city of some 200,000 people, probably the size of Plymouth at one stage. And with all the things that go with that, people who were faithful, people who were faithful in other gods apart from the Christian God, and all kinds of things going on that Timothy and Paul before him had to work on very hard and work around and yet try to be part of what was going on there and yet bring those people to a faith in Christ. Paul spent 3 years there with the believers, trying to instill within them the knowledge of Jesus and to give them the strength to carry on when he was gone. And as we know now, Timothy had gone back to do this work, to carry on this work while Paul was himself imprisoned. And so he needed to be aware and confident of his salvation history. And it reminds me that we perhaps need to be aware of ours too. The point at which we say yes to God, we need to know that there was some point that happened for us. And there may be a salvation history for you too. I'm sure there was. There's a point at which somebody shared something with you, whether you were when you were a child or when you were an adult. But there was a point at which you said, yes, Jesus, I need you in my own life so that I can live my life for you. And I know the point at which it happened for me. Now, many of you will know that for the last 12 months I've been something on AMD. If you re-scramble those letters, it actually works out as MAD. But AMD is Assisted Ministerial Development. I did it for 12 months. And it was a privilege to do that with some of my colleagues and to learn some things together. To learn things about Jesus together and the way we minister the good news of the gospel. And one of the things that we were invited to do, believe it or not, in our group, was to think about, we were meant to ask ourselves the question, why am I a Christian? And I want to give you just a few seconds to think about that for yourself. And ask the question in your own mind, why am I a Christian? That's enough. Because it seems to me that that's an important question. For some of you, it'll be to do with process, how you became a Christian. So somebody told me, that's good. For some of you, it'll be quite a different perspective. I am a Christian because I know the Lord Jesus and I wouldn't want to do without him. Some of you will have come up with some different answers. What I want you to do at the end of the service is to speak to somebody about what you were thinking. I know that's very brave, isn't it, in the Church of England. But think about what it is that you were thinking when I asked that question, or asked you to think of that question. Why am I a Christian? I don't think any of the answers are wrong, but I think what's significant is, you know, that we actually think about these things. And Timothy, in this story, needed to be reminded. He needed to be reminded of his salvation history with God. It began with his grandmother and his mother, and then he took up the cudgels of faith. He went forward in the power of the Spirit to do the works of God in his life. And Paul was right reminding Timothy that of the gift of God that was in him, which he received through the laying on of hands. It's in verse 6 of chapter 1. For this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, of course, Timothy would need all of these things because, as I suggest, he was in a city that was thriving and full of all kinds of distractions in life. Good things, too. And perhaps the danger of being a Christian, too, in that part of the world was certainly one of persecution. And certainly Paul was persecuted, and Timothy was in imminent danger, too, because Nero was around at that point, and it wasn't a good place or a good time to be a Christian, in one sense. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once said, "The tendency of the fire is to go out. So watch the fire on the altar of your heart. Make sure you nurture that which God has given you. That is, the gift of the Holy Spirit to be the people of God." And what everything we do, it's really important we learn to build up the presence of the Son of God within us. And sometimes that's tough, and we do need each other, but what we also need is to be reminded of our salvation history and allow our faith to be fanned, as it were, so that we can move ahead with God to do his works. But it all began for Timothy, interestingly, with the laying on of hands. Now, in the Church of England, of course, the laying on of hands usually comes at our confirmation, but it doesn't happen for everybody, because some people didn't come that way through. We've got people here who perhaps weren't in the Church of England. They came up by another direction, which is fine. But whatever happens, the laying on of hands is a really significant point, not just for healing, but receiving the charisms or the grace gifts that God wants us to use in his church. And there are whole lists of these in Paul's letter to the Corinthians and Ephesians and elsewhere. And I think we're going to look at these, it seems to me, over a period of time. Because if God calls us, he will equip us to do the work. Sometimes you think, there is no way on this earth I can do the things that God is calling me to do. A little thing comes into our minds that, you know, he calls us to do something, and you don't even know where it comes from, let alone how you're going to have the strength to do it. Well, where it comes from is a prompt from the Holy Spirit. And what we need is the baptism of that Holy Spirit in us and the laying on of hands to help us to do his work. So, for instance, if it is one of being a pastor, which any one of us can be in certain respects because we can go out and visit the sick and do those things, how wonderful it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go and do that work. Because first of all, he'll give you the indication of who it is you're meant to be visiting, and secondly, when you get there, you'll have the confidence not just to visit, but to pray for and to comfort and console when that's necessary. So we need all these things in our toolbox. It's God's toolbox, and we need to dip into it, take them out, use those gifts. For Timothy, it came through the laying on of hands, and I think that's really important for all of you too. It was certainly important for me during my life, and certainly when I was at St. Budo Parish Church. Budo got there too in Plymouth, and so when I was there and began to become involved in leading worship, I didn't even know I could lead worship. I just had this thing within me that was, I felt called to do it. never led worship before, never been involved in that before, never even spoken publicly before. And so it was with fear and trembling that I spoke to my vicar and said, you know, I sense there's something going on in here. And so he laid hands on me and prayed and asked God that we reveal if this was a gift from God, and if it is, that the Holy Spirit would build it up within me. And very quickly he began to use me in the ministry of leading worship in the church. Didn't wait for permission elsewhere. We knew permission eventually from the rest of the church, that's important. But what he did was to release me in that gifting. Now it may be that God's nudging some of you in things. We're already doing lots of things and that's really important, but we need to ask God's Spirit to release us in those gifts through the laying on of hands. Paul needed it, Timothy needed it, and there's no reason why we shouldn't need it either. For Timothy also, there was, of course, the whole business of trying to face the future, which was going to be challenging and dangerous. And so he would require great courage and determination and confidence. Courage because, and this is true for all of us, and it was in the gospel reading right there today, that if we are to follow Christ, we are to take up our cross and follow him. All of us need the courage that God alone can bring. And when we are in Christ, when we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, we know that there's not anything that we will do that he's not with us in it. And that's the truth. Even in the Old Testament, we hear of Joshua, who's been given this amazing job. And he's told, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Be strong and courageous. Courage is something that we have within us a bit, but we need it bolstering by the presence of God and his Holy Spirit. Timothy needed courage. Sometimes we need courage to do the things that are really difficult. And one of those things probably is witnessing to our faith. I don't know how you feel about it, but when I was first reminded that we are supposed to be witnesses to our faith, I got quite scared about the prospect. And there was one particular chap I used to work with in Devonport Dockyard, and he seemed to be fearless. That was a gift he had. I didn't have that. But he said to me now, he said, we need to start sharing our faith. We need, you know, if the opportunity arises, we need to be able to share our faith. Tell people why we are Christians. Why is Jesus so important to us? And I gulped and sort of dodged it, and oh dear. But the Lord would keep putting us in situations where it became important that we would do this thing. And we began to share our faith with, only during lunchtimes, but initially we were just being witnesses. There were three or four of us. We'd gather around our lathes and read the Bible together and pray together. And they would, the rest of our colleagues that we worked with, would look at us a bit oddly. And but eventually they would ask questions, and they would want to know, why are you doing this? Well, you know, this is really bizarre. And of course to them it was bizarre. Leave the Bible out on the desk, which I used to work on, keep turning the pages, and eventually someone would come and have a little look. And you could say, does this interest you? And eventually get the confidence to do that. I wonder if you have the confidence to say, why am I a Christian? What sort of things might you say to that? That's question number two to talk about with each other after this service. How would you share your faith? It seems to me you need to build up the confidence of that and not be ashamed of it. When I used to come back after a weekend, and all my colleagues in Devonport Dockyard would talk about their weekends, and they'd say, and what did you do? I went to church. I went to meet with the Lord in the family of God. Didn't put it like that because that doesn't mean anything to them, but we need to find ways of expressing this in ways that will help others to make a decision for themselves and therefore have their own salvation history. It requires courage, not our courage, but the courage that the Lord can bring. Timothy would also need a lot of determination, it seems to me, and that's determination to do with how we would build up our lives in Christ. Once again, it's to do with the Holy Spirit asking to be filled afresh each and every day. And within the Bible, we find all sorts of verses of scripture of, for instance, the psalmist who, with great determination, sought out the Lord. With all of my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments, said the psalmist. And then Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's where the determination comes from. It comes from the God who equips us and enables us. But determination to seek him out and to believe that he will help us to do the works of God. A bit later in Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. How wonderful to be able to say that at the end of one's life. And that's exactly what Paul was able to say. He was determined to know God in all his fullness so that he himself could be filled with the fullness of God. Timothy would also need confidence. Not confidence in himself. Our confidence is in God alone, the source of our salvation. We need to be sure, not just of our salvation history, but understanding how that has been wrought through God, through Jesus Christ, and by the presence of the Spirit in our lives. Paul was confident of something very important. He said, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now for Timothy, this was the gift of faith to go out and be the evangelist and do the work in amongst the people in Ephesus and so forth. But he needed to be reminded of the gift of God that was given to him in his life at the point of his salvation, at the point of laying on of hands. Our confidence is in God alone, the source of our salvation. And also, Paul said, I can do all things, once again, through him who strengthens me. That's a confidence statement. That if God sets a task before us, he will equip us to do the work. He will bring it to fruition. That's the truth. And Timothy needed to hear all of these things, because he had all these voices coming from elsewhere within the city of Ephesus, and it will have been tough. But he had to play his part, work on his relationship with Jesus, be determined about that. There had to be a bit of courage about the way in which he went about things, believing that God would equip him in the process to share his faith. And he had to have the confidence that God would see him and it through. Now, God will do that for us too. But we need to rely upon him and to throw ourselves upon his mercy and ask him to fill us up with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I think that we need to be doing. I don't think things have changed, essentially. We need all of him in all of us. So let's be still for a moment as we invite God to come by his Spirit and to touch our lives afresh today. Let's be still. Sometimes it's quite good to, as a sign of openness before the Lord, to pray with one's hands open before him and allow him to come and minister to us. For some of you, it will be a necessity and a need for courage to be that witness. Ask God for that courage now. And just receive it, knowing that God will bring it to completion within you. For some, it will be struggling with the determination to seek out the Lord. With all of my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And for some it's about confidence or the lack of it. Confidence in what God has done in you from the beginning and wants to do now through the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit of God, upon your people in this place. You know which people have asked for which thing, and we just pray that you'll bring it about in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.